You there?
Yeah.
Super duper. So I guess we'll go at let's make it I don't know, we'll go at 25. Hello, this is the Fair Wizards. I am Elvin, aka Dr. Feel Average.
And I'm Mike for Too Long Farts.
And we are playing every Nintendo 64 game, so you don't have to. We've been on an extended hiatus for lots of reasons, but we just put out an old one that we recorded before the hiatus last week, and now we're back to doing more fresh, relevant content of games that are 30 years old, 20 years old. Very, very relevant stuff. Topical. This week we are reviewing Army Men Air Combat, or as some people might know it as Air Attack, because that's what it was called on every other system. But not Nintendo, because it's special. That's the game we're doing this week, Mike.
Yes, it was published by 3DO, developed by 3DO on July 18th, 2000. Like you said, it's Air Attack on the PS1 or anywhere else, Microsoft Windows, wherever the hell you're gonna play it. Game Boy Color, I think too. It's because we like to squeeze those Game Boy games in there.
Game Boy
Nobody
Color was, I
plays them.
think, Air Combat 2. I think it was like a purely, for some reason, Nintendo thing. But
Well,
who
that's fun.
cares? Nobody
Yeah,
plays
who gives
Game
a
Boy
shit?
Advance games.
No,
Like,
no.
they're good for Pokemon and, I don't know, Barbie games. I don't know what else is on Advance Wars. Advance Wars. That's the
Quest,
only other
Brian,
game.
Quest, Brian's Journey.
Not familiar. What's Quest?
Fuck you, man. Fuck you right at the beginning. I'm not even through the intro yet. This also has a gray, green variant. So we played the green one. I don't own the green one, but I could. It's not expensive, so we'll talk about that later. One of three Army Men games on the N64, and this was the first Army Men game where enemies and terrains rendered in real time, as opposed to being pre-rendered and ready on the map, and then just fog of war out somewhere until you got to them. So, innovative Army Men
Man,
game.
a 3D game from 3DO.
Get it.
Fancy. Very fancy. Oh, all right. Well, that was actually a very informative. You had a lot of background on this one. Good for you.
I've had multiple months to think about it.
That's true. This could be our most in-depth review ever. Not really. I
It's not.
literally just played it like a week ago, so
Nice.
I played it while I streamed my real-time flight from LA to Hawaii.
Which is also very good content if you didn't
No, it
tune into
was
that. Get into it next time.
I'm not doing a long flight like that ever again. I literally fell asleep for like 30 minutes of it, and then I woke back up. I'm like, aha. So,
Was there for you.
yeah, no, you were gone before that even. It was
Well, I was there in spirit because I turned it on my computer and then left because my phone kept disconnecting from the
you did
stream and I kept getting pissed off.
that was the right thing to do. That's how you support streamers, is you just put their shit on a computer and then walk the fuck away. Don't talk to streamers, don't give them money. I honestly don't watch them. You can play video games. Or listen to podcasts about video games like you're doing now.
This
We are, yeah. We are not our own target demographic. But, oh, yeah. Let's get into the review. Our review process is five categories. It's gameplay, story, replay value, aesthetics, and value. And as always, we start with the gameplay. I gave the gameplay on this game a 17 out of 20.
I gave it a 14 out of 20, so 77.5% of our points the Wii Award games.
Not too shabby, honestly. I think you mentioned it either on the last episode, it was a long time ago, but I think you mentioned it, or we did it just in passing, talking about it. You hoped it was going to be like the strike games, like Desert Strike and Urban Strike and Nuclear Strike. And honestly, it not only is like that, it plays a little bit better than that. It's a little bit more smooth and fluid, and I don't know. It's a little bit more fast paced than the strike games too. I actually was pleasantly surprised because I expected it to really be janky and crap. But no, it moves good. Your helicopter, you got good control over it, but it still feels like, flying. It's not like where, how do I describe it? That arcadey, like you push a direction, you just change direction like instantly real fast. There's a kind of momentum with it and stuff like that, which is fun. The grappling hook, the thing that, or the whatever it is, the tether that you can drop down and pick stuff up with is actually a lot of fun. I spent a lot of time picking up like big rocks, and instead of shooting things, just dropping the big rocks on things, which I wasn't sure if that was going to work, but it absolutely worked. And I was super, I think that's what sold me on the game, like in terms of the gameplay, was I'm like, I can just pick shit up and drop it. Well, that's a lot of fun. And that thing hooks onto stuff good. I don't know. I felt it controlled pretty well. I didn't have a lot of complaints with it other than, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a negative. I guess I could have gotten higher if I can't think of a negative, but what did you think?
You're right. We're Genesis guys, so big fans of the Strike series. Was hoping and praying this was like it. I do think that this is like it is similar, but I think it's more casual, I guess. It's easier to pick up and play this game than it is one of the Strike ones. So when I think of the Strike series, I think of like punishing levels with inventory management and conservation. And then, like everything else comes after. Like, you have to spend the whole time surviving. And this game was much more like arcadey. There's like health and ammo all over the place, and you get to choose your co-pilot. So then you get like a special weapon. And, it plays to the strengths of Strike without making you like, I guess it takes away like the RPG element of Strike, where you feel like you're an actual pilot because you're like so worried about shit all the time, which you should know because, I don't typically fly from the United States, the continental United States, out to Hawaii, but you should know how important management of fuel and stuff is. And it's not the same in this game. It's com this one is much more for the like in between gamer, just the somebody who wants action and explosions. And like you said, the controls are great. Everything's in front. You got the joystick A and B, and then the shoulders for strafe. Like everything is like nothing is weirdly placed in this control scheme. It's damn near perfect for like a flying game, way better than Aero Fighters Assault that we played earlier in the thing. This one has the stuff where it should be without you having to change stuff. So excellent. And then the missions go from like simple search and destroy to the end of the level kind of thing to like escort kind of stuff. I know there's one level where you're like, you have to fuck, what do you blow up? You blow up something and then you like take a battery to Thomas the Train and then you get Thomas. They don't say Thomas the Train, but it's fucking Thomas the Train. Like it's got the face and everything. Like that it's so, but you put the battery in and you guide him through the level by shooting the stuff off the track and keeping the ants and whatever away. Because most of this is in the backyard. This game is played in the backyard, in the kitchen, and because it's Army Men. So yeah, I same thing. I guess I don't know why I didn't give it higher, other than the action's cool, but it's a little repetitive. Like there's a lot going on, and it does a pretty good job of not stuttering and bogging down, but there's still like most of the time you can just back up, like back up three helicopters and find like another inventory crate and then just fire your most like your homing missiles, your napalm or whatever at everything and just take care of it. Like there isn't a lot. The challenge here compared to a Strike series game is a lot lower.
I mean, you're absolutely right. If you want to compare it to the Strike series, which I feel you almost have to because it's a similar type of game, yeah, it is a lot more of an arcade base. The levels are pretty limited, whereas like the Strike games had this giant kind of map that you had to explore, and yeah, there are resource management and stuff like this. This game isn't meant to be that type of game. It's kind of a it focuses on the action portions of it. Aiming wasn't necessarily great, but you have enough like ammo and stuff to make up for that. Like you're not shooting precision targets here. You're just raining hell on stuff. So, you don't have to be too cautious. And like you said, there are plenty of like resources spread around that you can easily get more. Like I actually. When I was playing through, one of the first things I did was I'm like, I did the unlock all the levels cheat, and I just went straight to the end. And like, even the final boss is kind of like, all right, I picked it up. I'm like, I get it. I see what I have to do. I understand. Like, it was pretty accessible for somebody who's like kind of experienced this kind of game before. It doesn't have like, it's less of that isometric view as of a. That you get in the Strike games, it's more of a straight, like horizontal. I don't want to call it horizontal, but like vertical map. Like it's one direction. You're not looking at it at that isometric Diablo style map like Strike
Yeah.
is. So that's I don't know. Like I said, it really kind of or it follows the helicopter, right? I'm trying to think now.
No, you're correct.
Yeah,
It's like
it
it's
stays
one
one
point,
direction.
it's 1.0 is what they call that view, where you're
Yeah.
on top of the thing all the time. And the Strike series games were like, well, I guess at the time it'd be 1.5, but in a 3D game that'd be 2.5, where it's isometric and up and down. But yeah, it's just better. This is better for this kind of game.
Right, yeah. And this is all kind of getting into more than just the gameplay, but it does play into how you're going to experience it. And I don't know, like I said, I really was happy with it, like I said, other than the fact that like I feel like it'd be nice to have a little bit more precision with some of the aiming and stuff like that. But once you get the hang of strafing and circling around things and whatnot, it's pretty simple. So it's not gonna challenge you to, an experienced gamer to the point where you're going to get frustrated and have to redo it a lot. You can beat this game. If you've played this type of game before, you can beat this game. It's not even like the bullet hell shoot 'em up games or anything like that. There are aspects of that, but it's not extreme in any sense of it. So, and it's very forgiving. You got a huge health bar too. So yeah, I was like I said, it was just good fun. It was just a good fun pick up and play fun experience. So I enjoyed that. So good start. Next category. Got any more to say?
No, I'm
Move on.
good. I'm
All
okay.
right.
Let's ruin it with a bunch of other categories.
Yeah, let's do that. Story. I gave the story on this game a 10 out of 20.
It a 7, so 42.5%.
I mean, if you've played any of the Army Men games before, it's a pretty standard tan guys are doing something the green guys don't like. So you are the hero that has to stop the tan guys from doing what the green guys yeah. It's tan versus green, and you're on the green side and you got to do that type of thing. It's got a little bit of that kind of I don't know how to describe it. Like that almost like satirical army feel to it where they're like, playing into a lot of the General Patton-esque tropes and stuff like that. So without, taking itself too seriously. I don't know. I mean, the plot had something to do with rescuing Sarge or something from getting melted or whatever, and there's UFOs and teddy bears. Whatever, you're not playing this game for the story, and there ain't a whole lot of it to talk about, but it gives you a setting, and honestly, the story is kind of the setting. Like that is what you get. Like The only reason there's a story is to justify why there's army men and why you are where you are. And that's about as far as that goes. And from my opinion of it, I don't know. Do you have more of a rundown of the actual story? Because I didn't get much more out of it than that.
It's pretty similar to what you said. So it's evil General Plastro, the dude with the big, impressive plastic mustache, leading the Tan Republic towards the annihilation of the Green Army. Like you said, this game is trying to save Sarge, so you get Captain William Blade, because that's what you would name a helicopter pilot, Bill Blade.
Right.
And his co-pilots. And then that's it. The whole story is little like read-offs of the mission, and it's you and William Blade and his co-pilots trying to get Sarge back.
Yep. Pretty standard stuff.
If you didn't beat this game, there wouldn't be a Sarge's Heroes 2 for the N64. So good thing you beat it.
Right. Good for us saving the day. Thank you for your service, Captain William Blade, and your misfit gallery of co-pilots. And if you beat all of it, you unlock Bombshell, aka Felicity, because I don't think they actually call her Bombshell. Like, she's the only person who's actually mentioned by name. Everybody else gets their call sign.
Yeah, but Felicity.
Yeah, which was weird to me because I'm like, that's not what it says there. And then I like looked at the bio because I was like, oh, well, okay, that I guess do that. I guess Bombshell was too gender neutral that you had to really nail down what her name is. So you know, this is a girl. So yay, inclusivity. There's a girl in this game for your co-pilot if you want it, if you beat the game. Because girls can do army too. Is there more that we need to say about the story? I don't really have a whole lot more.
This is the N64, and there never ever is.
It's funny because like army men to me always kind of felt like tongue-in-cheek, like Starship Troopers, like kind of making fun of like the fascist ideas of the army without like actually exploring it, like the movie kind of.
Yes.
so it's like, yeah, it's like it simultaneously plays into the like the super patriot army tropes while not fully examining the problems behind it. Now I'm just overanalyzing the plot of an army men series for no reason.
Man, you are really going hard into the brains of plastic toys.
I guarantee
like 500 for a dollar.
I guarantee you at some point in the army man series, it just gets super anti-communist because that's the only thing you can rely on when it comes to army stuff in the United States and technically Japan too, because they always have something to do with the games.
I guess we'll find out when we play Army Men games that perhaps may have more story, unlike this one.
Unlike this one. Huh. Well, I guess if we have nothing more to say about the story, we'll go to our quick commercial break and we'll come back with the rest of the review. And we're back. Next category is, oh god, it's a replay value. I gave the replay value on this game a 6 out of 20.
And oh god, I also gave it a 6 out of 20, 30%.
It's a short game. I mean, the levels do have, you know, variation or whatever, and it moves you along pretty quickly, but you know, it's only got what I think 12 or 15. I forget what the number was. There's not a whole lot of levels to it though. I think it's actually 12. So it's going to go through fast. No multiplayer. It's just kind of, I don't know. You play it and it's fun and then you put it away.
Okay. So what I'm told is it does have multiplayer. So you have the cartridge and I don't. I don't know if the multiplayer was only on the PlayStation version or not, but apparently it has multiplayer co-op campaign.
What? Maybe I didn't notice that. Oh, God.
So here's the thing. We were playing it, and then I got water in my basement, and I immediately evacuated all the video games, and I stopped playing it. And the idea was my kids were coming downstairs with me to play it multiplayer because I was going to check. And I never did.
Oh, God.
We are not an informative podcast anymore.
Well, I mean, there was reasons. There were reasons. Was that at your old house that this happened?
No, this is here. It was when the really big rain that we got like 3 or 4 weeks ago. Like I didn't get a ton of water in the basement. It was just like I noticed where it's coming in and it goes right to our drainage hole, like our sump pump hole. Yeah. So then I got real irritated with everything in the world and kind of chopped it all down. And
welcome to our city. We flood. Yeah. It's a thing we do.
I almost forgot what it's like to live here, and now I remembered instantly. So,
well, hold on. I'm trying to actually turn the game on. I don't think it's going to change our score, because honestly, playing this game multiplayer.
Did you just blow into my fucking game? I
totally blew into it.
All right, can we talk about blow etiquette? So it's not like the force of the wind that helps the connection.
It's the moisture.
You have to blow hot and soft, like like you're doing the windows. No, you didn't. That was
It was really close. It was really close to the microphone. That's what it was.
Okay, yeah, so if you're going to blow in your games hot and hard.
I'll be damned. There is a two-player campaign. Okay. Well, there is a two-player campaign that does absolutely nothing to increase the length of the game or whatnot. It just gives you another option to have another helicopter on the screen at once, I guess. So there is your correction on that. We did it in real time during the recording of the podcast. There is multiplayer. It doesn't matter. It gets a low replay value score because there's not a whole lot about it.
Yeah. If you're a fan of the genre, there's some stuff here for you. As long as the stuff that you like isn't like unlockables or anything, because there's like three helicopters to unlock and did we say, was it four co-pilots? Four or five? Three or four?
Well, it's four helicopters, and I don't remember how many co-pilots there actually was, but...
Okay. No, there's three unlockable helicopters. Oh, so there's four total.
Yeah.
I think there's four unlockable co-pilots. Anyway, you're going to get them all in a single playthrough without doing anything special anyway, so it's not like you have to play through multiple times. The other thing that we do, Alvin... is that we talk about speed runs, and this one is great.
Oh, okay.
So, as far as recorded world record qualifying speed runs, there's only three in the world right now. Escort Quest is the number one Army Men Air Combat player at 49 minutes and 9 seconds. But... if you can beat this game in under 3 hours, you are a top three in the world.
I honestly feel like I could, but okay. I mean, that's fast. I will say, I bet you dropping rocks on shit is part of it, because where you had to shoot something a bunch of times with the gun or the missiles, you could drop a rock on it and it blew it up instantly. Like I did that a lot. So maybe I'm onto something here. Maybe if you get really good at swinging rocks around, you could beat it even faster.
You probably should just do an all rock speed run and then see if it's fast.
Do a pacifist run where I just don't kill anything with anything other than rocks.
Well, I don't think killing things only with rocks counts as pacifist, but I do understand what you're saying.
Nope. Killing stuff with rocks is actually In the Bible, so it's pacifist.
I guess it's the way God intended you to kill things.
Right, it's God approved murder. Floods are also acceptable. If you can somehow generate floods, you're also not committing violence.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I expect this podcast to go for the rest of my life. So, I mean,
right,
perfect.
I mean, I'm yeah.
Trees, rocks, water. Make sure you kill people naturally.
Fire doesn't seem to kill a lot of people in the Bible, which is interesting. Fire tends to be a good thing, probably because, like, back in Bible times, fire was kind of like, you know, electricity. It was important.
Yeah, and it talked to you.
Yeah, right. And now it's like fire is like, oh, shit. Fire is just ruining, like, our entire West Coast and Canada.
And it stopped talking to us.
Yeah.
Fucking
fire. We have so much stuff has happened since we have stopped recording. Like, the world is literally ending. It's pretty fantastic. Everything's on fire. And, well, everything was on fire when we stopped recording, but things are still on fire. The fire's never stopped. Rhode Island got a hurricane today. It's just amazing. Like, everything is just crazy right now. So, but what were we talking about? Video games.
Yeah. Yeah, this is how we avoid calamity, is by playing Nintendo 64 games.
All right. That's enough about this non-story. We'll go on to the next category. Nope. Oh, you got more?
No, you're good. It's just not story. It's replay, so aesthetics is next.
Yeah. We just did some replay. Okay, so the no replay. Aesthetics. I gave the aesthetics on this game. Oh, God, what was it? 10 out of 20. 10 out of 20. Is that what I gave it? Are you there? Hello? Did I lose you? Mike, I cannot hear you.
Are you back now?
Are you back? I'm here. I never left.
I'm here. Okay, I'm here too.
Okay. I gave it a 10 out of 20. Did you hear that?
I hear it now. I gave it a 9 out of 20. Did you hear that?
I heard that.
Awesome.
So what's that percentage?
It's 47.5.
It's a good percentage. All right. A little technical difficulties, because why not? It don't look great. I mean, it's what, 99 2000 ish game. It doesn't run slow, so that's good. You know, it runs pretty smooth. It's just, there's not a ton of detail. It doesn't need to have it. I don't know, it just is. I don't know, the Army Man games are weird for me, because they were trying to do that kind of like cartoonish looking thing while at the same time having like realistic stuff embedded with it. Like, in at this point in time, it's not like it doesn't always translate, so it all kind of looks the same. But there are advantages of the Army Men thing, because everybody's all one color and everything like that, so you don't have to worry about, you know, color palettes and details. I don't know. It just looks okay. I mean, the sound was, I mean, the music is just, you know, generic military fanfare type music and stuff. So it's just okay.
You're right. And without sugarcoating it, this isn't the prettiest game on the system. It's not even the prettiest game we've played so far.
No.
But, like, it's not ugly either. The problems lie in that all of the animation outside of the actual helicopter are, god-awful. like, I sent you a picture. It was, like, when I moved in here. I sent you a picture of, like, I was just setting my TV back up, and I sent you a picture of the rubber duck that was in the levels. And it doesn't even look like a duck. Like, I don't even know what it looks like. It just looks like a thing. Like, it's...
Yeah.
And everything is like that. Like, if it's all the way down to, like, the rocks that you can't pick up, like, all of these stationary level aspects are really, really... Especially if they have animation. Like, there's those teddy bears... Like that, mm-hmm. Rooms and shit, those are terrible. Like, they took all, but But that being said, the frame rate on this game is great. At no point did I notice any dip in that at all. But it's because they took all of the stuff out of the level and put it all into the helicopter and the shit that was exploding all over the place. And but you, it took it away from the rest of the game.
You know what, though? That's a good thing. Like, they understood the limitations, and they played it. They're like, this is what we can do, so we're going to make it simple. I think that's the whole idea. Like, I don't think they went out when they started the Army Men franchise. I don't think they came out saying, hey, let's make this based off those little green guys. I think they came out and said, hey, let's make this military type game. And then they found out that, like, oh shit, if you just do it all in one color, like, and make it so the things are made out of plastic, they don't have to move very far, and you can just get away with shit. And then that's what they did. That's my theory. I don't know if that's true.
Well, you don't have to have blood or anything either. So then that's the easiest way to save, a rating, a mature rating, is to have everything be plastic and melty instead of fleshy and bloody and gutsy. So
yeah. So it's war without all the things that make war bad. It just goes. Yep. All right.
The announcer, level select announcer, makes war pretty bad in this game though too. I made sure to write that down. Like, it's not quite the Midway-esque announcer. It's like somebody making fun of the Midway guy. Like I don't know. And then like, there is music and stuff too, but you can't hear it in the game because it's like they bothered to animate the gun and the blade on the helicopter as the loudest noises in the game. So, like, all you hear is you can't even, like, you have to turn off the sound effects to hear the music, and it's not worth doing anyway. So
yeah, I mean, yeah, that's just, it's not the strongest suit of the game, but it doesn't render it unplayable. And the fact that it runs at a fast clip and it's smooth with good gameplay, a lot of times that's the best thing you can fucking ask for in these games, because we played a lot of fucking shit games that would have been better had they played, you know, smooth, like
at all.
Arrow Fighters Assault or whatever.
Yeah. Or even Star Soldier, which we played too. Yeah. Suffered from a lot of bog down and poor aesthetics in that nature. So
yeah. Yep. So it's kind of meh. We're kind of meh on it, but not, it wasn't bad. It didn't bring it down. It didn't lift it up. It didn't bring it down. It was just kind of meh. The funny thing is, reading some of the old reviews to it too, this wasn't even a good looking game when it came out. Like, it's not that this didn't age well, it's just it never looked good. So a lot of the complaints that we've had so far were definitely noted in the original reviews. But the original reviews were actually pretty decent. But we'll talk about that after the next category, which is the value. I just looked at it today. The value currently is price charting at around like $13.50-ish.
Oh, excellent.
Is that about what you had it at?
No. The green was $15 when I did it. And the gray was near $27.
So. Ooh, well, she came down a little bit in price for the green. That being said, at that price point, I gave it a 10 out of 20.
So did I. 10 out of 20. 50%. Dead center.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun experience. It's not overly expensive. It's a little bit above the average, but it's a little bit above average game. So I'd say you're getting what you paid for here. I wish it was a little bit longer. That's still going to be my biggest gripe about this one. Now, it's like, it's got the opposite of Rampage effect, where I wish Rampage wasn't 700 levels long. This one, I could have used a few more levels, a little bit more challenges. But I guess, you know, when you hit everything and it is what it is, you just put it out. They're like, good, this game is done. We're not fucking around with it anymore. So.
Yeah. Like, so obviously the cool guy way to go is to buy the green cart. Like, we're agreed on that, right? That's the cool guy. So always that you're, yeah, always, always colored plastic. Because you know it's not a repro because they don't even bother with that shit. Unless it's Majora's Mask, nobody bothers making colored repro cart. Exactly. And nobody's making repro Army Men cartridges anyway because who the fuck cares? So
unless you can do the box.
Yeah, and there are lots of boxes that are repro. But anyway, so cool guy, we agreed. Cool guy way to go is green cart. So even if you're only spending $5 or now $3 over the average, that's not bad. I usually knock games that are over the average, but everything's over the average now. We probably should have recalculated the average after the last COVID spike, but we're not going to because we're not that podcast. That's not who we are. So we're going to keep it at $10-ish, and this game is good for over $10. It's cheaper than Star Fox, because you know, and a similar type of game, you know, a lot of action behind an aircraft kind of thing. It's cheaper than Star Fox, but it is more expensive than another one of my favorites, which is Rogue Squadron, the Star Wars Rogue Squadron games. That's like a $9-ish game. So it's in between those, which is why we gave it a middling score, or why I gave it a middling score. But if you like mindless action, hell yeah, buy it. Sure, what the fuck? Especially if you get the green one. Like a cool guy.
Yep. I mean, it's a fair deal. I mean, honestly, given the nature of price charting, you could probably find this game somewhere for like $10. I can't imagine it wouldn't be at some used store or thrift shop for $10. And Army Men was a pretty popular franchise. I don't know the sales numbers, but it's not too rare. So if you can get it under 10, pick it up. Absolutely. I wouldn't pay $20. Even 15 is starting to push it a little bit, but yeah, 10's a good price. 13's okay. That's the value.
Yeah. Just a quick blip. I feel like maybe people don't understand price charting. Like, we don't use it as like our Bible. It's just an easy way to just pick up. It's an easy way for us to both check a score so we can make this podcast, you know, accurate. But it's every copy sold accurately on eBay, Amazon, or through price charting, which now doesn't happen anymore because nobody sells through there, like ever. So when people complain that price charting prices aren't accurate, it's correct, but only because the prices in the last year and a half are so incredibly off kilter to everything else that's happened in the last 20 years that now when people try to use price charting to chart things, they don't seem right. Like, so Alvin saw a price starting at $13 on this. If somebody charged 20 for it, it might happen just because games are inflated right now. And then everybody's like, price charting's not accurate. Look, it's like, you know, 30% low on these games. Well, no shit, because the game has been, do you know how averages work? Like, the game has been selling for $5 for 18 years and now it sells for 20 and you want every copy ever in the history of man to be sold for $20. That's not how fucking stuff works. Like, I'm so incredibly exhausted explaining how numbers and averages work to people when I price things or when I buy things or, you know, like,
right,
like in any scenario. Luckily, we don't live in the video game desert. We have lots of like local shops around here that do a really good job of accurately pricing things and knowing what a market value price is and not going overboard on like, you know, well, this is the eBay's highest sold three copies. I'm going to average those three out. And that's what I'm going to charge for it. Like, eBay sold is how you should price things, but only if you're selling on eBay. Like, you still have to be able to sell to the average person walking in the store who doesn't understand why prices are the way they are. And that's what price charting does. It's for those people. It lets you look. Here is every copy that I can look back and see as sold. Like, here's where I think it should be. Here's what I think I should pay.
I mean, Yeah, we, like you said, we use it as kind of our reference to gauge the value, and it is an average, but you can always look a little bit deeper into, without very much effort at all, see what the last few copies are sold at, and that's probably a more accurate, if you really want to get into the micro trends of where the prices are actually at, that's the way to do it. Look at the last few sold, but the prices we give are based off of a general average. Like, I don't even know, like, their posted price. I don't know what duration of time that's based off of either. If it's a month or a few months, or if it's the all-time average. But we're just taking whatever the face value is that they post on there, which is some sort of cumulative of recent sales. So
So
all
stop
I
being a
know,
bitch about it. Just buy the game or don't. Here's the price. Like
I feel a little bad for you because you're kind of like alone in this, because I do not immerse myself into those communities because I am not buying these games. I'm merely borrowing them from you. So I don't get to see a lot of it, but I can guarantee you it would drive me nuts to have to deal with all of that. It's a
Well, what
lot.
I've done to like marginalize the pain that I'm feeling in the situation is I've stopped selling things
Oh.
entirely. I just buy things now. So I don't care if the prices go up or down. I welcome our all digital overlords who are going to destroy the physical collection of video game because it'll drive all the prices of my physical copies up through the goddamn roof and I won't know what to do with my money and then I'll donate it all to charity and go completely insane or something. But like there is no bad outcome for me at this point. Like I'll argue with people all day, every day about what games are worth because in the long run I don't control it and my opinion on things means so very little compared to the rest of the world's that like I'm just done. So, so I just buy things now. I don't sell them. I just buy them whatever. I found a Game Boy or a Game Genie today at a rummage sale for $5, and a jumper pack for an N64 for $2, and a memory card for $2 at some old lady sale. And I'm like, "Yep, this is what you're getting for it. Exactly what you asked me. Here it is. Here's the money. Face value. Take it."
A healthy lifestyle, what with your hoarding and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was healthy. I said it just makes me feel good.
You said
Like, yeah.
there was no bad outcome,
Yeah.
and there's some bad
That
outcomes
doesn't mean there's a good outcome either. It's just an
of you
outcome.
filling your entire home top to bottom with defunct video game merchandise.
Yeah. I've been posting pictures of me doing it too. So
Yeah.
it's fun, it's a good time. I found three complete totes full of strategy guides for games that I will never play. A lot of them were Assassin's Creed and Arkham games and Battlefield games. None of those games should ever have a strategy guide. But if you're looking for one, I own one and I won't sell it to
You would make a great used video game store owner, because then you could just put your collection all around in the glass case and people be like, "Oh, is that?" And you'd be like, "Yep." And they'd be like, "How much?" And you'd be like, "Not for sale."
I'd be like that
And
dude who
then,
owned Video Game Star. Do you remember Video Game Star next to the.
the one that smelled like a hair salon that had
Next
like
to. Yeah, perfect.
45 rare consoles, all of them not priced and not for sale.
Yeah, and then when he sold you games, you took the game box up to the register and he gave you a loose copy and didn't sell you the. Like, you even got like loose DVD, like loose PlayStation 2 games. He never gave you the case or the manual for anything. And you'd be like, what the fuck is this? I just handed you the case. Yeah, we don't sell cases. We don't sell boxes. Like, what? He's my idol.
He is the epitome of the video game store guy, which is simply the more high-tech version of the comic book store guy.
He
Although
just
the
evolved into the red box guy is all he did.
comic the Well, Give us our totals. We're done with this review. What have we got?
I gave this game a 46. You gave it a 53. So 49.5%, which lands it squarely somewhere in the field of numbers that we've reviewed so far.
Yep. That's probably, well, I don't want to say middle upper. God, that it feels low, but honestly, it's just all the things around it, because it's not a bad game. It is a fun game. It's just mediocre in the categories that we rate it on. So,
what we decided, I think 50 and above is now a good game.
Mm-hmm. This could have gone a little higher.
Dead Center before we started this season was 51.
This could have fit in that category. This one is a little bit of a swing. I don't know. We could have gone a little higher. I did have, honestly, before I gave you my numbers, I rated everything out of 10. And then I'm like, wait a second, we do this out of 20. So I had to like re-figure out where I wanted to put my actual numbers. So
because simply doubling them is not enough for you.
Well, you can't double out of numbers, and I wasn't going to give you half numbers, and it didn't make sense because it was like, all right, well, if I do that, then it's not going to be this. Like, I would have given... I think I gave the gameplay an 8 out of 10, so then I'm like, well, 16's not right, so we'll go 17. You know what I'm talking about.
I do understand.
It could have gone a little higher maybe in a couple things. I don't know. The aesthetics brought it down because it is a bit of a fugly-looking game, but it runs smooth, and it is fun. And honestly, it has multiplayer, which I unfortunately did not even get to look at, so... Shame, shame, shame.
Well, as it sits, we scored this 1 point higher than Arrow Fighters Assault, which we talked about in this review, mm-hmm. and 1 point less than Win Back Covert Ops, which is one of your favorite games of all time. So.
I wish it would have been higher than Win Back. I mean, This game didn't have any iconic parts to it or anything like that. It's just a game. And it's an Army Men game. It's got a green cartridge. Buy it and play it and whatever. So
the meta score.
Yeah.
77% on this game. Pretty high. Game Fan 69, IGN 7.6, Nintendo Power 7.1, EGM 7.5.
So it got fairly good reviews at the time. I mean, yeah, back then you could still trust a video game score without, because now if a game gets a 70, you're like, oh, this game is fucking garbage. But
yeah,
but that's just because everything has gotten skewed so hard, and the way people think about games is so weird now that you can't give them an accurate number. It's either it's like, is this the best game of all time, or does it suck?
Yeah, so. That's, it's exactly that. It's so bipolar with video game reviews. There are no reviews below 8 or above 3 now.
Right? Nobody gives a game a 6.
No. We don't review those games anymore.
That's true. They don't get it. They don't get in the print media because ink's expensive and so is paper. Yeah. So, yep. Well, all that considered, I guess we get to do the best or worst part of our podcast, and that is the power trip. And I guess that's gonna be me, huh?
It's you, buddy.
All right, well then we're gonna go power trip time. Okay, power trip is 30 seconds for the higher reviewer to talk about whatever they want. And since I won, it's going to be me. The first one in a long time.
Won. You didn't win anything.
I win everything. All I do is win. So, did we get a sponsor?
Yeah. I went around the corner. It's the bar around the corner. It's Pete's Garage. Pete's Garage is the bar.
Pete's Garage sponsored this?
Yeah. I have a hat. They gave me a hat.
Why'd they give you the hat?
Because it's got a misprint on it, and I loved it. So it's instead of Pete's Garage, it says Pete's and an apostrophe S. So it's Pete's Garage.
That's amazing. That's a good misprint.
And the guy that was sitting at the bar next to me is like, are you guys ever going to reorder merchandise? And they're like, yeah, maybe. And they're like, well, definitely don't get those hats over there. And it was just one of this hat. And he's like, with the misprint on it. And he's like, nobody's ever going to buy that. And I'm like, I'll take that. He's like, I'm giving it to this guy right here. He's going home with it.
Fantastic.
I'm not paying full price for that hat. And I did pay $10 for that hat. Give me that hat. Reorder them. Bring them back.
Give me more pizzas. Pizzas.
Yeah, they have food and alcohol. Wisconsin, guys, this shouldn't be a big right now. This is what we do. And pretty soon it's going to be winter, and everything except for food, alcohol, and video games is going to disappear in our state. That's it.
All right. Well, thanks to Pizza's Garage for
selling me a hat at full price, but also sponsoring the episodes.
Yeah, with a hat. That's what they pay us in. We'll run any ad if you send us a hat.
Well, I mean, we'll run any ad anyway, but also the hat helps.
They got to give us something. Something. I'm not doing this. This isn't a charity.
We spent $1. $1 for any ad, but $2 if you want it done the way you want it done.
Right. Yeah, we'll advertise. We're making moves here. We're good podcast, very professional.
Yep. Nobody's bought our podcast yet, so we have to keep churning.
Mm-hmm. Maybe once we finish it, someone will buy it.
Well, that would be a dumb time to buy the podcast. Wouldn't you want a podcast that's like gaining viewership, not that's peaked already?
I don't know. Maybe our old ones would be worth something. Maybe if we did something with our fucking podcast other than just record the episodes and then put them out there.
Yep.
Like created merchandise or did something.
Nah, I've considered that, but why?
Because if funny merchandise means more people will know that we exist.
All right. We'll mull that over after the episode then.
Yeah. Yep.
It's your power trip. I'm just waiting
for you. I just don't know how to I never know how to start it. We just kind of spin the wheels here and then we just go.
Yeah.
I was surprised with your normally your sponsor goes for like 20 minutes.
I'm saving that. I got something for after the power trip. So.
Oh, all right.
Or I don't.
All right, I guess count me down. I don't care.
Yeah, okay. 2, 1, go.
Okay, so ammo is hard to find already. And now that they put more sanctions on Russia, I can't get cheap ammo anymore. Like the cheap steel case ammo with like the Burdan primers and from some East Bloc nation that doesn't need them anymore. And that's dumb. So you should stop pretending like Russia is attacking us, like anywhere on social media or real life or in the news. If you're a politician, just stop, because they're not. And I need more ammo. That's the thing I need.
Yeah.
Okay.
I gave you like 7 extra seconds because I needed you to finish your sentence. I can't I don't cut off. Like, I hate that.
You need to cut it off. You need to cut it off. Otherwise I'm just like, I don't know when to stop. No,
because you finish strong and the rambling is what I like.
So. Oh. Well, that's all right.
But
maybe next time we'll have more controversy.
Keep in mind, at any point, I could just subtract 7 seconds from a future power trip now, because those are the rules.
No,
I don't
write
them.
I just enforce
them.
You just made those rules up. That's not the rule.
So at one point, you're going to have a 23-second power trip, and nobody's going to see it coming.
No, because I'll see it coming. I don't know. There's been sometimes when I haven't needed the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't have much beyond that. I wish I could get more cheap ammo from Russia. I'm glad I didn't buy into the co-op that was trying to make a deal with a Russian ammo company to get us in as like a vendor so we could have lots of ammo, because then I'd be out $100.
And ammo, because you wouldn't get anything either.
No, well, yeah. Yeah.
So the buy-in and the future stuff.
So, Turkey and Poland, or I don't know, maybe the country where there's more guns than any other country in the world could start, pumping up that ammo. That'd be pretty sweet.
I'm rooting for you.
Am. I went to a big box store that I'm not gonna give them the name because they didn't give us money for advertising. And I found some normally very expensive ammo that they had marked at like $20. Normally it's like 35, $40. So I bought it all, and now I'm auctioning it off on a consignment plan with a gun store, because I've been watching their auctions and people are still way overpaying for things. So it's a fun time to be alive if you're lucky enough to get a deal. I'm buying and selling bullets like cryptocurrency right now.
I should probably sell stuff at some point, but I don't do that. I just buy.
See,
So
I
I
yeah.
appreciate you.
Well, I mean, this is just ammo. If I don't buy it, I'm just gonna, throw it somewhere on really fast at paper targets or whatever.
Yeah, I
So
get it.
if I can turn a profit, I'm in.
Did we talk about what our next game is?
No, we didn't actually talk about what the next game is.
It's number 89, Alvin.
What's number 89? I don't know.
It's WWF Attitude.
Oh, I don't even know that's a good one.
It probably isn't.
When is WrestleMania 2000?
Don't know.
Oh.
21 years ago.
Oh. Did you
It's an exciting time for wrestling too,
Yeah.
because
It's
wrestling
crazy.
is like competitive again, as far as people who are not Vince McMahon throwing money into the void are making a wrestling promotion, which is like finally catching steam. So,
Yeah, they got everybody. They
yeah.
brought CM Punk back, AEW. Let's go. I'm in.
No Daniel
TNT.
Bryan yet, but he'll be there.
Oh,
He's got to
he's
be
on
there.
a he's still on a no compete clause. So
He'll be there.
He's got to wait
He'll
that
be there.
out. Well, he will be. He's already yeah, it's already a done deal.
Yeah.
He's just
Yeah.
got to wait it out.
But yeah, very cool stuff. If you like wrestling, it's a very cool time for wrestling. I had to explain the whole CM Punk thing to my wife. Like, I showed her the pipe bomb, and she's like, "Oh, that's fun."
Yeah, he was like, I don't know, he wasn't as, I didn't like him as much as Stone Cold, but it's the closest thing we get to Stone Cold in the PG era
Yeah.
WWE. So
Yeah. We get a straight edge guy who doesn't drink or do any drugs, which is the exact opposite of Stone Cold.
right, he just doesn't like authority, which
Yeah. Yeah. We all respect that.
to an extent, because I still want my fucking ammo.
I guess. So here's the other thing I want to talk about.
Yeah, do that.
It's Quest 64 because it's always Quest 64.
It's always Quest 64. I didn't know
But,
it was Quest 64. I would have said, no, don't do it.
you know you wouldn't have because you don't have a choice because you don't know what's coming. So, anyway, so since I moved in here, I have, well, I've always done this thing where no matter what video game page or Reddit thread I'm on or wherever I am, somebody asks me a question like, hey, what's your favorite PlayStation 3 RPG of all time? I'm like, Quest 64. Like I just it just comes out or like hey what's the Super Nintendo? I'm like a Quest 64 like it just comes out and I just don't know what to do with myself anymore because now this is who I am and I've created an entire personality around this and a podcast and now I put up a big display in my living room of Quest 64, and it just keeps snowballing from here. But the point of this rant is I'm noticing a change on the internet, and it's kind of creeping me out because it's not the kind of changes I like. So what used to happen is I used to say Quest 64, and some people's like, that's a piece of shit game. and that would be like, yeah, that'd be the whole conversation. Like, that game fucking sucks. Now I have, it's like one of three other things happens. One, somebody's like, oh yeah, I really like Quest 64. And they give a really specific example about Quest 64. Like, hey, yeah, I always level up wind and earth, and I do the stonecutter thing. And I'm like, yeah, man. And I have to like agree with them, which puts me in a really uncomfortable position because right, it's not something I'm not used to that.
You got to pretend like you played the game before.
No, I have to pretend like I enjoy talking about it. Those are things. Those are completely different things.
Because I'm not convinced you have played it before. So
I like all sorts of things, but the second that somebody agrees with me, I don't want to talk about it. Don't talk to me about anything I've ever posted. If you know me in real life, don't ever ask me about anything I've ever posted on the internet. Just don't do it. Don't come up to me like, hey, I saw that picture of it. No, that didn't happen. That's internet stuff. That's over there. I'm over here. Don't talk to me about that. So agreeing with people is out of my comfort zone. It's bad enough doing a podcast where we occasionally have the same opinion. Like, I don't like any of it.
So does that mean now you can't like Quest 64 anymore?
No. Okay, so number two is I might be actually forcing people to play Quest 64. Like, that might be a thing that's happening. Like, me constantly ramming Quest 64 down people's throats in an era where we have, like, EverDrives and emulators and, like, easily, like, everybody's PC can play N64 to some extent. Like, if you have bothered to buy a personal computer in the last 5 years, you can play emulated N64 games. So maybe more people are playing and they're like, oh, this is just an okay game. And they just want to be agreeable because it's nice to be agreeable on the internet, but more people might actually be playing it. And then the number three thing that might be happening is people are just lying, which I've also considered. That they're like, oh yeah, I like Quest 64, but they're just saying it because now they see other people liking Quest 64. But I've got, so when I used to post like Quest 64 stuff, like I would get zero responses. Like zero. I mean, so maybe one anywhere on the internet. Now, like Quest 64 posts like generate an incredible amount of stuff. Like, and mostly pop. And then I saw, then we were watching AEW and somebody sent me a photo of, Quest 64 is even better than Final Fantasy VIII, which you said you violently disagreed with, but that's your opinion and, you do what you want with it.
Right.
But, just to see like things like Quest 64 pop up in regular time, like in current time stuff, it's uneasy to me because I don't. Here's the big like picture of all of this that I'm blabbering about is that I don't want the price of Quest 64 to go up because then I can't buy every copy in existence, and that's what's happening and it's bothering me. Like I can't just buy everything that I want. Like, I can't buy every piece of Quest 64 stuff because other people are buying it now. Like, the game has doubled in price over the last... And I can't have that. So can everybody stop liking it or pretending that they like it or at least just stop buying it or talking about it? Can we just go back to where we were? Because I enjoyed that part of it. We're ruined now.
I promise I will never buy or talk about Quest 64.
Thank
you. That's my solemn vow as a person who does a Nintendo 64 podcast where we have not yet reviewed Quest 64 to not review Quest 64.
Yeah. It would be fun if we did the whole thing and never did it. I did consider that.
That would be, it would be funny. Have you considered the fact that, like, maybe this is, like, the same car phenomenon where when you buy a car, you're like, oh, I never see this car anywhere. But then once you buy the car, you're like, oh, I see this car everywhere now because I own it. And I'm always, no?
No, because I've been buying copies of Quest 64 for years, and it just started happening. It started happening between the time we recorded the last episode and now. So in the last month and a half, like 2 months.
That is not years, sir. And you have not been buying it for years. You have been happening to come across them in lots for years.
And purchasing them in those lots.
How many did you have before we started this podcast?
13.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
You're lying through your fucking teeth.
Before we started the podcast? Yes, I did, dude. I was already 200 plus games into the collection when we even started the podcast.
Well, I know that. I'm talking about Quest 64, not...
Yeah, so every time I bought a lot, I kept Quest 64. Every time a local store had it, they call me. I'm on every... So, like, Press Start Games has a waiting list for every game. So, if you want a 3DS and they don't have one, you put yourself on the waiting list. And then they call the next person on the waiting list when they trade one in. I am the only person on the Quest 64 waiting list at Press Start, and I have been for years. So,
but like,
so every time they get one, I get it.
Do you have to put yourself back on the waiting list then?
I am the list.
I know, but what happens if somebody else puts a name on the list? Do you get the next one? And then
let me just tell you about how many other people have ever put themselves on that list.
Trying to figure out a way that I can sabotage your list is what I'm getting at here.
You can put yourself on the list, and then I would have to jump behind you. But if you own the copy, it would only be a detriment to you, not to me, because I'll just buy a different copy.
Because it's like crypto, because you'll just keep buying it up, driving the price up, and I'll have it. And then I'll sell it once you drive the price up to a point where it's insane. And then I'll turn a profit
off me, because I'm the one buying it.
Yeah. Well,
so at one point I was just bored one night and I just started buying all the sub $15 copies, because it should be a $10 game. That's where I've been buying it. But I just bought sub $15 copies up. I looked and I was all pissed off the next day because I forgot that I'd had some alcohol and bought them. And I'm like, who paid 52 copies of Quest? I'm like, oh. You priced by like 20 cents, and I did it to myself.
Right.
That's terrible. I mean,
that's how it works.
Work, yep.
I mean,
we talked about it. That's how averages work.
That reminds me of how the story you just sent me today, that Soulja Boy got a bunch of Atari cryptocurrency and then thought he owned the company.
On a very, very ridiculous rant. If you haven't watched it yet, it's excellent. He called everybody a lot of words out loud on Facebook Live and Snapchat and a bunch of other places. Called them pussies and a bunch of other things that I can't say.
Yeah.
And then he showed the contract, like, nah, I got it right here. And he like pulled up a screenshot, and it was just a bunch of purchases of Atari coin, which is not stocks of the company, but their adjacent Bitcoin thing. And he thought buying like $100 million worth of, like, it was a lot of money, meant that he was the new owner of the company. Then he tried to say that he was the owner of the company, not just like the CEO, but the owner. That they came, they're like, oh no, they came forth. He was wearing like an Atari hat and one thing. And he's like, yeah, they came and asked me. And he was talking about his Soulja Boy console, which is some fucking Retro Pi ripoff thing that he tried to sell 2 years ago, where he just pumped a bunch of, like, Nintendo gave him a cease and desist. They're like, stop this shit.
Because he was selling emulators.
Yeah. Yep. But he tried to say that that's why Atari contacted him and he bought the company. And they, like, Atari straight tweeted, this is funny, but our CEO is, and they gave the guy's name. And then he freaked out. He just flipped out.
So, yeah, it was supposed to be some sort of promotional thing. And he went a little overboard.
He doesn't understand anything.
Yeah. It's a shame. If I'd have known he was going to do that, I would have bought some of the Atari coin ahead of time, and because it probably went through the roof when he bought it. Because that's some big volume going out there.
It's a little bit of coin. Yeah,
it's a little bit, and you know, that's how crypto works. If everyone's buying it, then it's worth more because it has no intrinsic value. So,
The thing is, I don't know how you'd have insider information on that because he didn't even know he was buying it, apparently. So,
Well, to be honest, I didn't even realize Atari was into that game, but knowing Atari now, I'm absolutely not surprised that Atari is in that game because that's a
yeah.
very Atari thing to do. I mean, the fact that they beat Amazon and Apple to the punch is pretty funny to me. But yeah, Amazon and Apple are also looking into their own proprietary cryptocurrencies because, of course, they are.
I am completely surprised Amazon doesn't have one already and force you to use it to buy things off of it. I mean, that's the only way.
They're already talking about taking Bitcoin, but Bitcoin isn't under their control. It makes a lot more sense for them to just come up with their own currency. And then, yeah, like you said, if you own all of the stuff and you own all of the money, then you own everything. What a weird dystopia we live in. This is not how I saw the end of the world going.
No, it's definitely going down with a bunch of, as opposed to like a
Yeah.
bunch of firearms.
I mean, it's the funniest, like if this was a Fallout game, like nobody would believe it. They'd be like, this is too ridiculous for Fallout even. Like this is you guys have gone too far. Like it would not make a believable Fallout game.
Yeah, because there wouldn't be any. Like it'd just be people walk you walk around trying to give it spend money. Like, no,
Or
stop it. Every
yeah,
time you buy
convince
something on Amazon, a dick missile goes up to the moon.
the and he sues NASA.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part about
Can't
all
even
this is that
explain that to somebody.
yeah, like this and for like the historical record, if somebody ever unearths this recording of this podcast, we are currently in the middle of a space race. That has not even achieved what they achieved in the 1960s. In fact, it has failed more times to achieve what we've achieved in the 1960s than it has succeeded. And all the world's richest people are trying to become astronauts. Meanwhile, we have an international space station that other countries regularly send people up to. In space, and we have a bunch of rich dumb fucks that are trying to almost get to space with their own stolen money.
Space. That also can't go into space.
Yeah,
The
well,
Space
yeah,
Force. We have
that's
the Space
I
Force,
almost forgot about
and it's
Space
not in
Force. I
space.
almost forgot about Space Force, whose only job is to fly drones and operate spy satellites over Middle Eastern countries,
Yeah,
which
not space
we
stuff. I don't
lost
even
a
know what
20
space means.
year. Even with our super advanced space force, we still lost a 20-year war against the insurgents that we spent 20 years trying to remove from power without firing a single shot. They just took over. And we're just like, this is just gonna happen. It's fine. We should have never been there, and we're gonna go home now. But then we can't go home because they promised a bunch of people in Afghanistan that they'd get to come with us, and you know,
And
because
that's not
our how our
happening.
country works, that everyone nobody has learned the lesson that we are more than happy to use you as soldiers, but you have to stay where you are. You don't get to come to America because we're an evil empire and you're not one of us. So it's the weirdest dystopia ever. This is not how I saw it going. I just want to buy cheap ammo. Why can I not live in the United States of America and just shoot guns all the time? That's what we're supposed to do. It's all we're good at. No, we're not even good at it. We didn't even win an Olympic medal in any of the shooting competitions. Well, we got one silver in the women's trap shooting. That's it. That's what we did. We can't even shoot good. The Czech Republic and Slovakia and England beat us in trap shooting.
Yeah, and that chick with the that does nothing but play The Witcher and shoot guns was way better than the rest of the world. She didn't even have both hands on the fucking gun.
Oh,
her hand in her pocket.
The Russian girl from
yeah.
in the air pistol competition. Oh yeah, that was pretty funny too. Yeah.
On her belt and shot with one hand in her pocket. Mm-hmm. That's the rest. Good, that's the.
Yeah, we're an awful that's country that's not really. Did you cut out? I lost you, Mike. The CIA just cut Mike off. He was about to explain all of the big conspiracy, and now he got cut off.
Planning is bad.
No. You got totally cut off there, and it was great because it sounded like you're about to expose some shit.
They actually just stopped talking then. It was like the CIA. It's my handlers. Like 5 seconds.
We'll have to have like a CIA disclaimer on this episode. Oh,
just, I bet you handler doesn't listen to our podcast.
Well, somebody is. I mean, maybe it's all it is. Maybe it's just the FBI. Maybe it's like former members of the IRA or whatever that were really stoked about our pro Ireland, anti British sentiment in our early episodes, and now it's just them, one guy from the FBI, who's just like, did they threaten anybody? Oh, all right, and then
should we threaten some?
Our three fans. I don't know. I don't. Who do I threaten?
Really have any beefs right now?
Yeah,
but mostly because I haven't left the house other than the work.
I can tell you right now that it is totally illegal to say, I want to kill the president of the United States of America.
Wait, say that again.
It is totally illegal to say, I want to kill the United States president. You can't say that. It's illegal.
Well, I just don't want you going down and spreading the rumor that I housed your burger to the guys at the... God, I can't remember. No, I just fucked the whole joke up. Fuck.
I don't know what this joke was. I have no idea what
it
this
was. Another I think you could use reference where the coach, they go back to meet the coach at the restaurant, all the guys burn, and he tells him that he wants him to say that,
yeah,
that say,
well, he was their old
the thing. Yeah,
yeah,
but he eats his
I know what you're talking about. See, I was making a much older reference to Whitest Kids You Know. That was a Trevor Moore bit. Rest in peace, Trevor.
That also happened between our episodes. Trevor Moore died, which is tragic.
Trevor Moore died. Afghanistan. The Taliban took back over Afghanistan. A hurricane hit Rhode Island today. The Lightning won the Stanley Cup again. And something else happened. I can't remember what it was. I don't know. Something stupid happens.
Yeah, wrestling happened again. We talked.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's it. We're hitting 30 minutes on this run. We're gonna end this. We're gonna end this episode. Right.
So don't.
We're just rambling anyway. So
yeah. So don't do any of the stuff we. Do all the other stuff that we did.
Yeah, like buy Army Men Air Combat Attack. Only buy it on the 64. Don't buy the PlayStation version. That's important.
Yeah.
We didn't talk much about that.
Have a good morning.
Okay.
Have
a good morning. Yeah. Oh, mixing it up.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand. We'll be right back.
The cult of personality.